I want to take you on a little trip with me. Before the first let there be, before sun, moon, clouds, stars, the Bible tells us that God does all things according to the working, according to the counsel of his will. So if you could go back to what scholars like to call eternity past. I don't know how eternity can be past if it's eternity, but before the first let there be. In the counsel of his will, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in dwelling in this atmosphere of love, a love so great that God purposed in his heart that he wanted a large family of sons that he could share that love with, that he wanted to be in relationship with. And in the counsel of his will, they decided, we're going to create man in our image. We're going to place him in this place called earth, and we're going to walk in relationship with him. We're going to love him, and he's going to love us back, and we're going to guide him, and we're going to have a world filled with other image bearers, and I can look in the face of my children and see my image and see my light and pour out my love. And then Holy Spirit says, well, you know, if you make them in your image, that means they have to be able to choose. And God, the Father says, yeah, I know, but I want them to choose me as I chose them. I don't want them to be robots. I don't want them to be automatons. I need to. Love gives choice. Love does not coerce. Love does not force. Love gives choice. So God the Father is saying, I want them to choose me just as I have chosen them. So he creates us. He creates man. He creates Adam in his image, in his likeness, with the ability to make the choice. And we know the story. He gazes lovingly into this man that from the clay and breathes his very life into him and places him in paradise. And we know the goal was relationship. And we read in Genesis that the Father would come and they would walk together in the cool of the day. I can't only imagine what that was like. But Adam had to make the choice. And it's interesting, always God tells us what to choose. He doesn't leave it up to us to figure out what to choose. He said, don't touch that. Choose me. And we know the story. And it plunged us when Adam made the decision that he could be like God without God. That plunged us into this place of separation. But God had a plan, because in eternity, he'd already purposed in his heart that when man chooses independence, I'm going to wrap myself in flesh and I'm going to come and live among them. The word made flesh came and tabernacled among us in the exact moment. So we see Adam expelled from the garden, and the Son is saying, it's a time. And God said, not yet. And then we see him choosing Abraham and the whole nation coming forth, Israel. And we see them going into Egypt. And then the Son is saying, it's a time. And God said, not yet. And then we see throughout the history of Israel all these opportunities that God is revealing himself. When he brings them out of Egypt and leads them into the desert, he said, I want to dwell with you. That's all I've ever wanted to do, build me a house. And so they built the tabernacle, and God was dwelling in the Holy of Holies in the midst of his people, because relationship is the desire of love. And he brings them into this wilderness. It looks like a wilderness experience, but the Bible tells us in Hosea that he lured them into the wilderness so he could speak to them. And throughout the history, from Genesis to Malachi, we see God over and over again revealing himself as fire, revealing himself in the cloud, miracle after miracle, how he keeps his people, manna, how he clothed them, how he fed them, how he protected them, how he allowed people who never knew how to fight to beat people who were warriors by just showing up. They didn't even have to fight. Just show up and praise me. God revealing himself over and over again. They would go into captivity, and I could hear the son saying, is it time yet? God said, not yet. But then there was that moment when everything was just right. After every prophecy had been declared concerning the Messiah, God coming and saving his people, delivering them, healing them, setting them free. At the perfect moment in time, the son says, is it time yet? And God said, yes, now is the time. And he sends an angel to visit a virgin girl named Mary. And I want to pick up the story there. So if you have your Bibles, Anita, I'm going to be in Luke 1. And I'm reading from New King, I'm reading from New American Standard today. Or not. Let's do New King James Version. I'm starting at verse 26. We know the story. But I want us to get a different perspective today. Because what I sense happening as we shift into 2025, we're going to need an understanding of Emmanuel that we've never known before. We're going to have to understand this place of grace that God is giving to us like never before. And I just want you to say it one more time, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Luke 1, starting with verse 26, it says, now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, in the sixth month, we know right before that, the angel had appeared to Zechariah and told him that he and his wife Elizabeth, who had been barren in their old age, were going to have a son, and they were to name him John. So this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy when the angel appears to Mary. I'm going to pick up at 27. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now we read that, and some translations say greetings, and I think I like that, that it says greetings. Highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Mary would have heard this, be filled with joy. That's what that word greetings means. We say greetings, we're just saying hi. The angel wasn't just saying hi. He's saying be filled and continue in joy, for you have been graced. That word favor is charis in Greek, and it means grace. You are the beneficiary, the recipient of grace, because, and we don't see all of this in the scripture, because before I said, let there be, I chose you before the foundations of the world to bear my son. You have already been graced to walk out purpose and destiny and fulfill the thing that I have created you to fulfill. And you need to hear that for yourselves. It's not just for Mary. The Bible tells us before the foundations of the world, he chose us in the beloved. He chose us in Christ for a very specific calling. Paul tells us the calling with which you were called, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Each person in here, each person watching, is called with a purpose. And grace is available to walk it out. Now, Mary would have heard this again. be filled with joy. You've been graced, Emmanuel. And she would have known what that meant, because she would have known Isaiah's prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 7, somewhere around verse 15, it said, "And he himself will give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then we read again, when the angel goes, Joseph has a dream, and the angel speaks to him concerning Mary. And he says, these things are happening to fulfill what was already said. You should marry her. Don't cast her away, because the child that she's bearing will save his people, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Now, what I find interesting when I look at this passage in Luke is that every time an angel appears, there's fear, right? We see it a few verses earlier. Zechariah's doing his duty in the holy place, and all of a sudden an angel appears next to the altar of incense, and the Bible tells us he was gripped with fear at what he saw. But when we look at this, the angel comes in, and it doesn't say that Mary was afraid of what she saw. It says she was perplexed, and it comes from the same root word that was used to describe Zacharias's reaction or response to seeing an angel. Gripped with fear, agitated, distressed at what she saw, what she heard. Not what she saw so much, but what she heard, because she's understanding something we don't necessarily get out of this text. When she hears, "You've been graced, Emmanuel." What? You chose me. She knows what that means. She understands she has been chosen, though she doesn't understand all of it. We don't fully get prophetic words, but we get an inkling sometimes, and I want us to be mindful. You're going to hear some things that are going to perplex you this year as you're going into the next year. You're going to hear and see some things that will maybe even agitate, because one of the definitions of that word that's translated perplexed or troubled in many translations really means to agitate. Why would she be agitated at hearing Emmanuel? I don't know how you study the Bible, but I ask questions like, why doesn't it say she was afraid when she saw the angel? She used to seeing angels? I don't know. But why was she troubled at what she heard? Not what she saw, but what she heard. Because the implication there is, one, I'm going to have a baby, and we get the explanation that power of God's going to overshadow her, Holy Spirit's going to come, and she's going to conceive through Holy Spirit. That in itself is like, what? Wow. But understand, she's a virgin. By all rights, how do you explain that to somebody? How do you explain that to your fiancé? Oh, it was Holy Spirit. By all rights, she could have been stoned. At least, she's going to be a pariah in society. Because when we read through the Gospels, we get the sense they knew that she wasn't married. She was married, but not married to Joseph when she conceived this child. What does it mean to bear the Son of God? So we say yes, because I imagine everybody'd heard the prophecy, and every young girl, 13, 14, 15-year-old girl in Israel was thinking, maybe it could be me. And maybe Mary even thought, maybe I could be the one. But now that she's finding out she is the one, she's filled with all of these emotions. What am I to do with this? How do I explain this? I don't understand it. How is this going to be? And the angel explains what's going to happen. And he explains who this son is going to be. He will be great. He will save his people. And all Mary can do even though she's trying to reason it out, he said she pondered these things. That means I'm trying to calculate and figure out how does this work. And we tend to do that in my own mind. You cannot figure it out in your own mind. Holy Spirit, come and start speaking some things to you, and I guarantee you, everybody who's watching, everybody in this room, he's going to speak some things to you that are going to be so overwhelming to you going into this next year, and you're going to be perplexed, and you're going to try to figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. You cannot. And I need you to understand that in this season, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care what God spoke 20, 30, 40 years ago that has yet to come to pass. God's word is true. He made that prophecy in Genesis 3, and he said, the heel crusher, he'll crush your heel, but you're going to crush his head. Prophecy. And thousands of years later, before he said, now it's time. And for some of you, you're going to hear God's, like Paul said, when it pleased him to reveal Christ in me, it is the season of God's pleasing for many of us. Not only to reveal Christ to you. Notice Paul didn't say he revealed Christ to me. He said he revealed Christ in me. And as he reveals him in you, others will see a brighter glory, a greater glory, a greater glory as we yield to the process of allowing Christ to be revealed in and through us. And it's going to draw, because we know we're stepping into a season. If the church does not step up and be who the church was created to be and understand Emmanuel, so as Christ is revealed, it's going to draw, but it's also going to repel some folk. And that's okay. God's got a way. And if they're not drawn to you, they'll be drawn to someone else, because God's intention is many sons. And I don't use that. Understand, when I say sons, it's not gender specific. It speaks of a place of position and authority and power. You've been given a right. You've been given a responsibility as a son. Everyone in here is a son. Paul tells us that we were predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. Here's what's going to happen, y'all. Again, I'm not in my notes exactly. The angel says to Mary, you're going to conceive. And I want you to know this is a season of conception for us. It is a season of conception. I'll say it again, because somebody needs to be happy about conceiving some stuff that God has purpose, not stuff that you tried to put together yourself. But God is saying, as you posture yourself in the presence of my spirit, and as you allow me to overshadow you and allow the life that is in you to come, this is a season of conception. Some of those dreams, some of those prophetic words, those things he's spoken to you, John Paul, that book is going to open doors for you. You excited about who may be writing your foreword, but that, I'm going to tell you, that pales in comparison to what God has purposed for you. Yes, it's great to have a well-known person's name on your cover, but there will be the day when people are going to say, John Paul, can you write the foreword to my book? It's going to open doors in the places, I want to say, like Dr. Seuss, the places you'll go you never even imagined. So God says, finish it, because it is just the beginning. The finishing of the book is not just the finishing of the book. It's a beginning of something greater for you. Praise God. Conception. How many got some dreams and promises, seeds that God just kind of planted and they just seem to be stagnant? Conception in this season. Mm. I don't care how long it's been. It was thousands of years before God said, now go and wrap himself in flesh. I'm going to come down. And they got the wrong idea of who I am. Even through all of the prophecies and everything that I've done for them, they don't quite get it. So I'm going to wrap myself in flesh. I'm going to become one of them. I'm going to tabernacle among them so that when they look at me, they get an accurate picture of who God really is. In everything I speak, in everything I do, with every miracle, they're going to see love in action. They're going to see this is who God really is. We've gotten it wrong for generation after generation after generation. But now God in flesh, the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, filled with glory and grace, showing us the very face of the Father. That baby in a manger, the very face of God. And I'm going to add this. If anybody tells you anything about God and it does not line up with what you know about Jesus, it ain't God. Yes, I said ain't. It ain't God. If you can't see it in Christ, it's not God. But not only did he come, Tammy, to show us what God is really like, he came as a man, the Son of Man, to show us what God always intended life to be like for us. Emmanuel, I just noticed that. Emmanuel, man, God. Blended together in one. I'm going to show you what God is like, but I'm going to show you how what you are like as well and how you're supposed to purpose and walk out this life, but you cannot do it independent of me. It was never intended to be done independent of God. So God comes, becomes one of his own creation. Just one of those mind-blowing things. The creator became the part of his creation. And walked among us and gave us an example of all life was intended to be. And he's here now with us in the form of his Holy Spirit, and he is calling us to step into a greater place of knowing who we are. Because what I've come to understand, that now that we belong to him, his desire is that his word be made flesh in us, his body. That wherever we go, that word shows up in us. And it brings light and it brings life to every place that we go. Is that your reality? That every place you go, there's life because the word is being made flesh through you. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Just show up. Emmanuel, God with us. And because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, he's not just with us. He's in us. But the song says he's all over. He's behind us. He's around us. He's on top of us. He's in us. He's through us. God, the very... Can you get that? Just think for a minute. The very God who spoke a word and a whole universe came into being takes up residence in you. The same God who spoke to the Son and said, "Don't set until my people have won this battle," dwells in you. The same God that told Moses, "Speak to the rock and you'll have water," that same God lives in you. Emmanuel. So when it says to Mary, we read and it says, the angel goes on to tell Mary that nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. And his proof is, Elizabeth, you know, she's old, your cousin. She's really, 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 really old. She's pregnant. If I can do that, but even more, if I can do this with you that I'm about to do, if you can bear a son without ever knowing a man, what else can I not do? Nothing. One translation says God's word will not be void of power, for nothing shall be impossible. So as we're stepping into the season and we're looking at Emmanuel, we're seeing who this God is that has taken up residence in us. We understand the finished work. We're looking at this beautiful little baby in a manger. I think the pictures do not tell the story. Nice, cooing little baby. Joseph and Mary smiling now. All the cattle are lowing and the star and the shepherds. And it just looks so nice. But this 14-year-old girl would have walked or rode on the donkey for about 70 miles to get to Bethlehem. She's 9 months pregnant. She's only a teenager. And I've been on hay rides, and I tell you, straw is not comfortable. So this is when she's saying, hearing what angel that Gabriel is saying to her. I can just imagine all the stuff going on because she knows the prophecy. How can this be? God says, but I've given you grace to do it. Yes, you may be scorned. Yes, it's going to be hard in your 9th month traveling 72 or 90 miles from home, and you don't have Alexis to take you there. Yes, it's going to be hard because you're going to see what the end is going to be. You're going to watch him be crucified to give his life for all of mankind. It's not easy to bear the Son of God. But it is so worth it. Whatever the hardship, whatever the challenge, whatever the what other people are saying, loss of reputation, whatever it is, it's not easy to bear the Son of God. But it's worth it. And you and I, as his body, have been called to bear the Son of God. We got to understand the power of Emmanuel. As we're stepping into this new season, Jesus came, Messiah, to bring victory in every area of our lives, to bring life into every area of our lives, to bring light into every area of our lives, to bring freedom to every area of our lives. So when you find yourself looking at that bank account and it ain't quite adding up, Emmanuel. When you go to the doctor and you get a diagnosis, Emmanuel. When folks are talking about you on your job, Emmanuel. When God calls you to stand against something that nobody else understands, Emmanuel. When you're depressed, Emmanuel. When you feel bound, Emmanuel. When you feel confused, Emmanuel. When you feel powerless, Emmanuel. Not only with us, but in us. I don't, 2025 is going to be a year, y'all. It's going to be a year. And there's some things, even as the body of Christ, we're going to have to walk through, but Emmanuel. There's some things that won't be as rough because Emmanuel. I just say it. Just say it one more time. But don't say Emmanuel. I want you to feel the weight of Emmanuel, the weight of God with us, knowing that the work has been finished. according to God's eternal plan, Paul tells us in Ephesians, which he accomplished, has already been accomplished in Christ. And then he goes on to say, in whom we have boldness, Emmanuel, and access with confidence, Emmanuel, through faith in him. But I particularly like King James, because King James says, by the faith of him. So I don't even have to try to work up faith. It's his faith in me. It's his grace in me that is empowering me to walk out purpose and destiny, just as Mary was graced and empowered to walk out purpose and destiny in a generation that would not understand. Can you imagine sitting down with your mother and saying, Mom, I'm gonna have a baby? And your mother looking at you like, what did you do? I didn't do anything. The Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit filled me with this life. Now, who's going to believe that unless somebody's really in tune with God? It's not always easy to bear the Son of God, but it's worth it. It's not always easy to walk out purpose and destiny, but a God who knew you, who you were before your mother and father even knew each other, who knew who you were in eternity, chose you for a specific task. He knew Mary. Of all the virgins in Israel, he'd already chosen her. He knew every detail, and he knew, even though she had a choice, she could have said, nah, I think you got the wrong one. Can you find some other virgin? Because I don't think so. So when God starts to speak to you about purpose and destiny, and I'm telling you what's going to happen in 2025, it's going to be so far beyond anything that you've imagined. I found myself writing this in my notes yesterday. If God is the God who does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, he's not calling you to do something other than that which is exceeding abundantly above what you think you can do. That's what he did with Mary. She may have been thinking, maybe I'll be the chosen one. Yeah, now you are the chosen one, and it's a lot more than you imagine. But he does it according to what? The power working in us. So when he comes to you and he tells you, this is what I've called you to do, this is your assignment in this season, our posture must be just like Mary's. Be it unto me. I don't get it. I don't know how you're going to work it all out. But all I can say is, be it unto me according to your word. Not my word, not how I tried to put it together, but according to your eternal word, which you declared before I was even born. You saw the path that I would take. You provide the grace and the wisdom and everything that I need. So God, be it unto me according to your word. Now, I know I can't say that for you, because you got to have a commitment that says, but if you are in that place today, you're tired, you know there's more. You just have to make that decision yourself, but I stand here and say for me, be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me. I may not like it. It may hurt. I may lose friends, but be it unto me according to your word. People may not understand, but be it unto me according to your word. It may mean that I lose some things, but be it unto me according to your word. Because I recognize everything that I will gain and the lives that you've called me to impact, it will be worth it. So be it unto me according to God. Mary's posture must be our posture if we're going to see this world turned around and God's glory revealed, covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. If we're going to see his kingdom advanced in every sphere of influence, we have to be willing to say, I received the grace that you'd already apportioned for me to walk this out. Grace that enables and empowers me to do what you have called and commissioned me to do. Grace that empowers me to be who you created me to be so that I can do what you called me to do the way you called me to do it. In the place where you're setting me now, be it unto me according to your word. Emmanuel. Emmanuel comes with all the grace and everything that you need to walk it out, to live it out. And I'm going to wrap this up, and I want to take you just a little further, and let's consider Emmanuel. Say it. Just say his name. Emmanuel. Get a situation in your mind, something you may be going through right now. Emmanuel. What is your heart's desire? What has he placed in your heart that seems so out of reach? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Every victory, Emmanuel. In every battle, Emmanuel. In every sickness, Emmanuel. You don't have wisdom, Emmanuel. You don't know what direction to go, Emmanuel. The one who crushes the serpent's head, Emmanuel. The one who is the lifter of your head, Emmanuel. The one that comes with power and might through his love, Emmanuel. Is there anything you cannot accomplish because, no, the answer should be no, because Emmanuel, God is with us. We were in our Thursday night class, we were looking at the Good Shepherd and on this past week, and as I was preparing, it hit me when he said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And we know that the same, in both in Hebrew and Greek, the same word for hear means obey. It's the same word for obey, which implies if I hear, I haven't heard it if I haven't obeyed. You know, when your mama said, get up and wash those dishes, and you didn't get up, and then she said, did you hear me? Why? Because you didn't obey. You must not have heard. But then as I was thinking, it could be that you didn't hear, or did you choose to rebel? My sheep know my voice. The voice of another they will not heed. And if my sheep know my voice, my sheep follow, they obey. So if you haven't obeyed, this is, I don't know who this is for, because this was not among my where I planned to go. If you haven't obeyed, is it because you haven't heard? Or you chose disobedience? This is a season we got to hear and respond in faith to what we hear in his timing. Even procrastination will cause us to miss moments that we cannot get back. But Emmanuel empowers us to walk this thing out in obedience and faith so that God receives the glory and that his intent, which he purposed before the foundations of the world, shall be fulfilled. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. There was a chorus a few years ago, simply said, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. So let me just tell you a few things, and then I'll be done. Emmanuel. Again, the Word who was from the beginning, the Word who was in the face of God, John tells us in his first chapter. The Word who is God, clothed himself in humanity, dwelt among us as one of us. This one, the Apostle John tells us, sent from the Father, was full of grace and truth. The Creator became his creation to live among us. He came to say through his life, this is who God really is. This is what God is really like. Whatever you hear me say, whatever you see me do, is a physical manifestation and demonstration of God's unconditional love for you. It's love in action. Emmanuel says to us that God is not far off and distant. He is with us. He is near. He's approachable. He's accessible. He is Emmanuel. Emmanuel says that God is not indifferent to us. He is full of compassion. He cares about every detail of our lives. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows you inside out. He sees all and he cares. Emmanuel reminds me that poverty, sickness, and disease do not belong to me. They are not in him. And John tells us in his epistle, as he is, so are we in this. Sickness, poverty, disease is not a part of me. God with me. Emmanuel provides for all those needs. Emmanuel feeds the hungry. Emmanuel heals the sick. Emmanuel raises the dead. God with us is not out to get us at the first infraction of the rules. And when I first got saved, but when I joined church, I was 8. And I guess I was saved. But I thought, when the pastor said, by coming, you're going to be the best little girl that you know how. And I'm telling you, that thing, I hated Brussels sprouts. And I lied to my mother about eating my Brussels sprouts. And I just knew I was going to hell because I hadn't been the best little girl that I knew how. Let me tell you, God is not casting you out because you broke a rule. This ain't about law. This is about grace. Emmanuel saves, forgives, restores. By his finished work, he fulfilled every aspect of the law. He is God with us, who loves us back into right relationship with God. Not by our actions, but by his blood, his grace, and his love. Emmanuel does not leave us here to figure things out on our own and hope we get it right. God with us provides direction and guidance and wisdom and grace through his Spirit in us. Emmanuel does all of life with us. Emmanuel does not cause chaos or disorder, but brings peace. For he is the Prince of Peace. He has given us peace with God, and he has given us the peace of God, a peace that passes all understanding. So when you're feeling disorder, remember, Emmanuel. He brings rest and restoration and refuge and reconciliation. God with us does not leave us as we were when we came to him. Praise God. He transforms us, restores his image and likeness within us so that we can live the abundant life, the life of fulfillment, as he always intended. Emmanuel reminds us what this season truly represents. So this Christmas, I know what Christmas can be all, we can get all frazzled about stuff. I didn't buy this. I bought one gift. When's Christmas? Wednesday? I bought one so far. I have no tree. I put some decorations on the table. But I'm not going to get in that vortex of gifts and decorations and sending cards and all the stuff that wears us out, which does not really represent what the season is about. Don't get in a frenzy this season. Just settle in. Don't be pulled into that. Remember, Emmanuel. If you need wisdom, if you need refreshing, if you need peace, joy, grace, love, Emmanuel, simply whisper his name and rest in the blessed assurance that he is with you, doing life with you. He is transforming you. He is causing you to triumph. And he's moving you into a place where you will see the fulfillment of all he's shown you. As you believe. Just whisper his name one more time. Emmanuel. I want you to get it in you. Again, look at whatever you may be facing and say, Emmanuel. 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 Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. Nothing is impossible. Blessed are they who believe what the Lord has shown them, for you will see a fulfillment. Understand the season of conception, posturing yourself simply to say, be it unto me according to your word, and watch God do some amazing, incredible things as we step into 2025. For he truly is the God who does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We are going to see this exceed, this God who exceeds abundantly. Just one last thing. King James says he exceeds abundantly. Other translations say exceedingly abundantly, which is, that's grammatically correct, but it says something entirely different. He is the God, you got abundant, but he exceeds abundant. So I'm here, and if he's going to exceed abundant, he's going to do more than the abundant. So it's not exceedingly abundantly, but exceeding abundantly above. Man, who would want to serve a God like that? I'm already got this abundant life. I'm already feeling. He said, I'm going to do even more than that. And it's going to be above everything that you can dream, imagine, speak, think. That God, Emmanuel, is going to blow your minds in 2025.